إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ويوم يعض الظالم على يديه يقول يا ليتني اتخذت مع الرسول سبيلا يا ويلتى ليتني لم أتخذ فلانا خليلا لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا وقال تعالى في مقام آخر ربما يود الذين كفروا لو كانوا مسلمين ذرهم يأكلوا ويتمتعوا ويلهيهم الأمل فسوف يعلمون وقال تعالى في مقام آخر وإذ قال إبراهيم رب اجعل هذا البلد آمنا واجنبني وبني أن نعبد الأصنام وقال النبي صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم المرء على دين خليله فلينذر من يخالل أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين Honorable علماء اكرام respected brothers, elders, friends One of the many du'as that Nabi Kareem صلى الله عليه وسلم used to make very often, very common is اللهم رحمتك نرجو فلا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين Oh Allah, I rely on your mercy Oh Allah, I depend on your kindness Oh Allah, I put my trust in your mercy فَلَا تَكِلْنَا إِلَىٰ أَنفُسِنَا طَرْفَةَ عَيْنِ Oh Allah, don't hand me over to myself for the duration of the wink of an eye. One day while teaching this dua in madrasa, Allah put a thought in my mind and I explained it to the students that we find a young child at the age of 3 or 4 or 5, we hold him by our hand and we go in visiting, we go in shopping, we discipline the child. Look here, we're going visiting. Please greet nicely. Don't offend anyone. Don't be rude. Don't be noisy. Or we're getting visitors. Please display good character. The child has been given a task. He's been asked by his parents. He complies accordingly. And wherever he goes, he sits nicely. He greets. He smiles. He's polite. Everything is functioning normal as planned by the parents. Someone even comments on the good nature of this child. On the outstanding character of this child, said, Mashallah, you're such a sweet boy. What's your name, my boy? What's your father's name? But at least realizing that the goodness and the good character of this child is because he's been held by his father. So wherever the need came, the child was good, he was polite, he was sweet. And then came the need where the father had to excuse himself and he had to ask his son, Oh my son, I'm going, just give me 2 minutes and I'll be back. Sit here nicely, please don't interfere, it's not our house. Don't touch anything, don't break anything. Now for 2 minutes, the father has left this child to his logic. For 2 minutes, the father has left this child to his doing. He was sweet, he was kind, he was obliging. Why? Because the father held him. When the father left him for 2 minutes and he came back, to his utter surprise, the mess that the child made in 2 words cannot be described. Wallah, my respected brothers, you and I, in particular the youth, the pains through which we are going, if Allah has saved us from the evil vices happening, then rest assured Allah has held us. Wallah, if Allah has to leave us for 2 minutes, the mess that child will make is no comparison to the mess you and I will make. And if Allah has saved us, and we beg Allah and we implore Allah, like Nabi alayhi salam said, وَخُذْ بِنَوَاصِينَا إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى Oh my Allah, grab me by my forehead and drive me to your obedience. Oh Allah, hold me and steer me, but don't leave me for the duration of the wink of an eye. The mess that child will make is nothing. The age through which we are going, the environment we are going through. Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the ayat-i-kareema that I recited, Because the outside environment was of idol worship, that the environment directly impacts and affects us. Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, who came, who has been termed as the father of Anbiya alayhi salatu was salam. Allah speaks about Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam in 25 different chapters, in 63 different ayat. Yet Ibrahim alayhi salatu was salam, among the many du'as that he made to Allah, one was, وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ وَجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. Oh my Allah, I beg you, save me and save my beloved Ismail from worshipping idols. The ulama say, why did he make this dua? Because the environment outside was of idol worship. He opened his eyes in a house where his father was an idol merchant. So the constant fear that we must not become a victim of the outside influence. Likewise, if Allah has saved us here, we have to continuously provoke, we have to continuously supplicate Allah, beg Allah, beseech Allah, implore Allah, that, oh Allah, as you have saved us, and as you have not left us, oh Allah, don't ever leave us. We know at this phase through which the youth are going through, a man that is left, then one pill in the name of substance abuse is enough to destroy their whole family. If that man doesn't have taqwa, then one girl is enough to ruin his... Never mind one girl, wallah, the thought of one girl. So when Allah has left the person, then the slightest of vices is enough to destroy. And when Allah holds the person, and a man comes away into the security of Allah, then like it is written in one kitab, that there are four things that are most beloved to Allah if it is found by anyone and everyone. But if these four particular qualities can be found in certain people, then it will only enhance the beauty of that action. What is it? Ajib. Al-haya'u min kulli insanin hasanun, walakin fin nisa'i ahsan. Modesty, shame, bashfulness is a wonderful quality if everyone can possess it. But how beautiful it will be if the woman can have it. السخاوة من الأغنياء حسن ولكن من الفقراء أحسن. Generosity is wonderful, it's beautiful if the wealthy have it, but it's even more beautiful if the poor possess it. التوبة من الشيخ حسن ولكن من الشاب أحسن. Repentance over one's wrong is wonderful if that white bearded man can repent to Allah, but it is even more beautiful if a youngster in the prime of his life can abandon his evil and tear before Allah. A youngster, while surrounded with evils and vices, the environment pulling him in that situation, and in that time if he turns to Allah. My respected brothers and friends, Allah has made this insan such, Allah has made this human such, that he can never be left to himself. His life has to be governed. This is how Allah has made. There's only one being, and that is Allah, who is self-sufficient, who is independent. Every human needs to be guided, needs to be monitored, needs to be tutored, needs to be controlled. This is how Allah has made man. Then Allah has given us one choice. Either we make our beloved our tutor, that is Allah, or we make our enemy our tutor, and that is our nafs. Allah speaks about that young person who abuses his abilities that Allah has given him, and he disobeys Allah, and he succumbs to the evil forces within himself. أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَىٰ. He succumbs in totality to all evil forces within himself, be it womanizing, be it consuming wine, be it gambling, be it any and every evil. He succumbs to that evil to such an extent. Allah says, then he makes his ego, his nafs, he makes it his ilah, he makes it his deity, and his entire life revolves around the commands of his nafs. So he lives by the command of his nafs. Whatever that nafs provokes him to do, this is what he does. The ayat-e kareema that I recited in the beginning, one of the situations that we are experiencing in this youth of ours, the beauty of this deen that Allah has given us, for one and all to understand, one of the greatest beauty of Islam is The Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Islam is the natural way of life. So Islam and the nature of man and the temperament of man will never contradict. In other words, every command of Allah, every injunction of Shariat is according to the human inclination. By way of example, Nabi alayhi salam says, Ashratum min al-fitra. The lengthening of the beard, the trimming of the mustache, the clipping of the nails, the cleaning of the pubic hair. Nabi alayhi salam says, apart from this being part of my deen, this is such good practices that it is the demand of the human nature. And this entire deen that Allah has given us is in complete accordance with this human temperament and this human nature. There is nobody that can explain us something which will earn us more joy. Every youngster, in essence, is looking for happiness, for joy, for excitement, for entertainment. There is no one that can offer us that true joy better than that very same Allah who has created us. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ. Allah says, we have created man, so we know the desires of man, we know the likes of man, and we know the dislikes of man. And we know what will bring man bliss. We know what will bring man eternal happiness. Really, my youngsters, let us not be deceived by the apparent notion of joy that is being presented to us. Nabi alayhi salam was walking in one of the streets of Medina, and he seen one young boy walking, and this young boy was singing away in a melodious voice. So Nabi alayhi salam looked at him and said, وَيْلَكَ يَا شَابْ هَلَّا بِالْقُرْآنِ تُغَنِّي. وَيْلَكَ يَا شَابْ هَلَّا بِالْقُرْآنِ تُغَنِّي. وَيْلَكَ يَا شَابْ هَلَّا بِالْقُرْآنِ تُغَنِّي. Oh my little son, woe be to you. How evil it is that this beautiful voice that Allah has given you, you are now using it to attract the wrath of Allah. Wallah, if you change that voice of yours and you start reading the Quran, you have such talent that even the malaika in the skies will cry on your reading. Even the malaika in the skies will cry. So the joy that Allah has explained to us in the light of Quran and Hadith is that joy that is eternal. Allah says, يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِّنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَهُمْ عَنِ الْآخِرَةِ هُمْ غَافِلُونَ. The joy of this world is hollow. فَلَا يَغْرُرْكَ تَقَلُّبُهُمْ فِي الْبِلَادِ. Do not be deceived by this man, his apparent understanding, his progress, his technology, his intellect. Allah says, don't be deceived. Go into those hearts, there's no joy. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam says, Al-mar'u ala deen khalilihi. A youngster and a person generally will follow the deen of his friend. We find that today we have become so impressed. Like I was 2 years ago in Canada, and there was a youth conference. In fact, the theme was the increase of suicide among American youth. So there were few speakers, and one of the brothers came in there and he says, hey brothers, you know what? Peer pressure creates beer pressure. Peer pressure creates beer pressure. And wallah, peer pressure creates blood pressure. A youngster comes to a point of frustration. The life narrows upon him. So he feels his only option is to kill himself. And like Mawlana Shabir Ahmad Uthmani Rahmatullah Alayhi writes few couplets so beautifully under the commentary of this ayat, وَمِن وَرَائِهِ عَذَابٌ غَلِيدٌ. He says, اَبْ غَبْرَا كَ يَا كَهْتَ هَا كَ مَرْ جَائِنْگَ مَرْ كَ بِچَنْ نَا پَایَا تو كِدَرْ جَائِنْگَ. اب گھبرا کے یہ کہتے ہیں کہ مر جائیں گے. Now we come in this world, you get frustrated because there's no iman. Problems, depression, tension, frustration. So he says he opts for death with the hope that it will bring you joy. He's realizing that the subsequent stages after death is more intense. One person in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam by the name of Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, he invited Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for meals. Nabi alayhi salam came, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him, I will eat provided you recite the kalima la ilaha illallah. He felt embarrassed that if the Nabi of Allah comes and he's not going to eat, so to impress and to please Nabi alayhi salam and not to offend his guests, he recited the kalima la ilaha illallah. Nabi alayhi salam ate from the food. After the meal was over and Nabi alayhi salam left, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, he had another friend. Once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked, Ayyu julasaina khair ya Rasulullah. O Nabi of Allah, we have so many friends and so many companions. Can you define and tell us which is our best friend? Tell us which is the best friend. One friend of mine got me a job. One friend of mine got me married. A friend of mine got me a post in a particular firm. Tell me, O Nabi of Allah, so many friends. One friend of mine introduced me to Allah. One friend of mine introduced me to Saturday night. One friend of mine introduced me to a strange girl. I have so many friends. I have so many companions. I have so many colleagues. Tell me, which is my best friend? Nabi alayhi salam said, Man zakkarakumu Allah ru'yatuhu. O my sahaba, that friend of yours, that when you look at him, you think of Allah, he is your best friend. That friend of yours, that his sight alone reminds you of Allah. وَزَادَكُمْ وَزَادَ فِي عِلْمِكُمْ مَنْتِقُهُ. And when he speaks to you, your knowledge about Allah increases. وَذَكَّرَكُمْ بِالْآخِرَةِ عَمَلُهُ. And when you look at this young boy, the life he's living, and how he's obeying Allah, and abstaining from evil, vice, disobedience, you look at this young boy, how he has controlled his life, and he has protected and safeguarded himself from evil, you look at him and immediately it reminds you of accountability before Allah. When this person, Uqba ibn Abi Mu'id, came out, he met his friend, Ubay ibn Khalaf. So his friend told him that, I heard you have recited the kalima la ilaha illallah. So he says, no, I only recited the kalima to impress Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So his friend said, no, I do not accept what you are saying. You have read it, and as far as I'm concerned, you are Muslim. And if you want to remain my friend, like today, unfortunately, many friends, the very prerequisite of being part of that clique is, Allah forgive, Allah's disobedience. If you want to remain my friend and you want to be part of us, then I will not accept that you have, I will not believe you that you have not accepted Islam until you don't go and in my presence go and spit on the face of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Quran says this man to maintain friendship with his friend, just that he doesn't lose attachment and bond and link with his friend, that this is my friend and I cannot lose this attachment with my friend. This evil, wretched, unlucky man comes to that faith which the Quran has taken qasam about. And Allah alone knows in which way and how he did it. But na'udhu billah, he spat on that Mubarak faith which Sayyidatina Aisha radiallahu anha used to say, لَنَا شَمْسُ وَلِلْ آفَاقِ شَمْسُ وَشَمْسِ خَيْرٌ مِّنْ شَمْسِ السَّمَا فَإِنَّ الشَّمْسَ تَطْلَعُ بَعْدَ فَجْرٍ وَشَمْسِي طَالِعٌ بَعْدَ الْعِشَاءِ. That one is the sun that brightens the sky and one is the sun that radiates light in my house. Then Aisha radiallahu anha says, I am ready to challenge the sun that brightens the world. And I will tell that sun, you brighten half the world and the other half is in darkness. My Nabi radiates light 24 hours. This evil man came and spat on this Mubarak face. Allah sent Jibreel with the Quran, explaining the regret of this friend on the day of Qiyamah, when he will see Jahannam, and he will see the torment of Jahannam, and then he will see this friend of his, that this man introduced me to a woman, this man introduced me to drugs, this man made me be disowned by my family, this man made me abandon my family. Allah says, وَيَوْمَ يَعَضُّ الظَّالِمُ عَلَىٰ يَدَيْهِ يَقُولُ يَا لَيْتَنِ اتَّخَذْتُ مَعَ الرَّسُولِ سَبِيلًا يَا وَيْلَتَا لَيْتَنِي لَمْ أَتَّخِذْ فُلَانًا خَلِيلًا. When this friend will come before Allah and he will see the torment and he will see the nasty outcome of this evil friendship, Allah says, first he will bite his hands. He will bite his hands in regret. He will try every possible avenue to avert and divert the azab. But when he will realize that it's inevitably to come on him, then he will point to this man and he will say, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. Oh my Allah, I wish I never met this boy in my life. The words of the Quran, my ustad used to say, there will not be one Uqba cursing one Ubay. Wallah, there will be millions of Uqbas cursing billions of Ubays. Every man who had friendship, whose friendship took him away from Allah, on the day of Qiyamah, Al-akhillau yawma idhin ba'duhum li ba'din adu. Allah says, every friendship that was based on anything and everything besides Allah will be converted into such enmity that a man, Allah actually describes, we haven't got time to elaborate on this, Allah describes the hatred and the enmity and the arguments of the dwellers of Jahannam. Inna dhalika lahaqqun takhasumu ahli an-nar. Where they will come before Allah, Rabbana inna ata'na sadatana. Oh Allah, I obeyed this man. Oh Allah, I did what this friend said. Oh Allah, you punish him. Whatever you have decided to punish me, give him double my azab. Ya waylata laytani lam attakhid fulanan khalila. I wish I never met this boy in my life, oh Allah. لقد أضلني عن الذكر بعد إذ جاءني وكان الشيطان للإنسان خذولا. Because of this boy, I lost my whole deen. That is why among the many names of Akhirat that Allah has given, Allah refers to it as يوم التغابن. Allah refers to it as يوم الطلاق. Allah has given one name of Qiyamah, وأنذرهم يوم الحسرة. One name of Qiyamah, Allah says, the day of true regret. One of the names of Qiyamah in the Quran is the day of regret. We know the day of judgment, the day of recompense, the day of azab. One day Allah has called of Qiyamah, the day of regret. What will be regret? رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. According to the riwayat of Tibrani, when Allah safeguard us all, when those people from this ummah who disobeyed Allah, who loved the life in Allah's disobedience, because of their wrong and their vice, they will have to go to Jahannam. And in Jahannam, the kuffar will observe that these people were Muslims in the world, yet today they are in Jahannam. So the kuffar, taunting the Muslims, will say, مَا أَغْنَى عَنْكُمْ إِيمَانُكُمْ. That your iman did not avail you in any way. In the world you said you were a Muslim with the hope of eternal bliss. But today you are with us, our abode is in Jahannam. We denied Allah, we understand that our penalty is Jahannam. You claim to say you believed in Allah, today you are also in Jahannam. It comes in the riwayat of Tibrani, when the kafir will taunt the believer, this will become unbearable for Allah. Allah will command instantly that every reciter of the kalima la ilaha illallah, a man who only uttered the kalima la ilaha illallah once in his life, every person who uttered the kalima once must be taken out of Jahannam immediately. And then immediately they will swim into one river of Jannat. They will come out of there completely pure and pure. How they will stand up? Qamatu Adam, with the height of Adam alayhi salam. Husnu Yusuf, with the beauty of Yusuf alayhi salam. Qalbu Ayyub, with the heart of Ayyub alayhi salatu wassalam. Miladu Isa, with the age of Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. And with the akhlaq of Nabi alayhi salatu wassalam. Five other qualities: Jurdun, Murdun, Ji'adun, Mukahhalin. Jurd, Murd, there will be no hair on the face, there will be no hair on the body. Mukahhalin, there will be surma in the eyes. Ji'adun, the hair will be slightly curly. Bidun, there will be fair in complexion. And then Allah Pak will command them to go immediately into Jannat. When the kafir will observe the virtue of reciting the kalima even once, that this man did every wrong, but he only read the name of Allah once. Allah opens the 14 juz of the Quran by saying, رُبَمَا يَوَدُّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لَوْ كَانُوا مُسْلِمِينَ. When he will see the believer entering into Jannat because of the utterance of the kalima, la ilaha illallah one, the kafir will cry and beg and beseech Allah, I wish in this world, even by mistake, I had believed in the oneness of Allah once only. Can we imagine that kafir who will regret that I did not believe in Allah? What will be the regret of this kafir who believed in Allah and then denied the oneness of Allah because of his friend? When a general kafir and every kafir will become so desperate that the Quran says, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمِ, he will desire to have his wife and his children thrown in Jahannam as ransom for himself. So can we imagine the regret of that young boy or that kafir who, because of influence from his friend, he disobeyed Allah? So Allah has given us this youth, and the value of obeying Allah in this youth is something different. What Allah has promised for a youngster, Allah speaks about the life of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. Imagine a young boy. Allah had given him such beauty that according to the riwayat of Bukhari Sharif, Nabi alayhi salam said, half the beauty that Allah had distributed in the entire world, and the other half Allah had exclusively given to Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam. So from Adam alayhi salam till the last child to come, any and every person possessing physical beauty is sharing a fraction of the half distributed in the entire creation, and the other half was exclusively given to Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam. But what akhlaq and what taqwa was displayed?
വന്റെ വസ്തഖ്വയിന്റെ ഉമ്മ സയ്യിദ്നാ യൂസുഫ് അലൈഹി സ്വലാത്തു വസ്സലാം, ദ മിനിസ്റ്റേഴ്സ് വൈഫ്. ഇമേജിൻ എ യങ് മാൻ വിത്ത് സച്ച് ബ്യൂട്ടി, and then look at how complex the situation was for Yusuf alayhi salam. The Quran says warawadathu allati huwa fi baytiha an nafsihi wa ghalqatil abwab. That woman intended seducing Yusuf, in whose house Yusuf was staying. So her favor was on Yusuf, her kindness was on Yusuf. Wa ghalqatil abwab, she shut every door for Yusuf to leave. He was trapped up from every angle. And then she said, Hayta lak. Hayta is asma'i af'al, which means Isra' ilayya. She started speaking about the beauty of Yusuf and she said, come towards me, O Yusuf. And before she did this, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullah alayhi writes that she took one piece of cloth and she covered it. So Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam asked her, what are you doing? She said, no, that is my idol and I cannot disobey and I cannot commit a wrong in the presence of my idol. So I'm covering and I'm concealing my idol. So Yusuf alayhi salam cried and he said, my Allah is such, if I commit zina in the dead of night also, I cannot cover my Allah. There's no place where I can block myself from my Allah. He looked up, the ulama say the ayat flashed above him, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا الزِّنَا إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. Although at that time the Quran was not revealed, but Allah Ta'ala placed this before him, that don't ever come towards zina, don't ever come towards immorality. My respected youngsters, the good and the bliss and the joy that we desire, wallah, Allah desires it more for us than we desire it for ourselves. The only problem is today, unfortunately, man is challenging Allah's knowledge. What Allah has explained as a good life for a young boy, and in what lies happiness and joy and bliss for that boy, and what we have understood, we are openly challenging Allah's knowledge. Allah said, discipline yourself and not to even look at that woman that is out of your nikah. Man felt that this was restricting his freedom. Man felt that it was altering with his own opinion. So he felt that he must have the choice in the woman that he wants. It is the very beginning of what we see in the name of AIDS. And like one alim said it so beautifully, that Allah is showing us, it comes in the riwayat of Ibn Majah, Nabi alayhi salam says, وَالْأَوْجَاعُ الَّتِي Allah will inflict such sicknesses when immorality and zina will become common, that the doctors of that time, their abilities and their intellect and their understanding will be defeated and they will fail in diagnosing cure for that medicine, in the riwayat of Ibn Majah, which had not even crossed the mind of the people that preceded them. Allah will inflict such calamities when zina will become common. We have heard of a man that has developed the virus for sleeping with two women that are outside his nikah. But till today, the world cannot prove an example of one man who has four women in his nikah, sleeping with four women lawfully, and he has picked up the virus of AIDS. So this is the direct effect of disobeying Allah. Man felt it was altering or it was interfering with his freedom. Maulana Ibrahim Dawla Damat Barakatuhum one day mentioned so beautifully, he said, today the system of the West is that the youngster is made to believe azadi tumara haq hai. Constantly this theory is promoted, that freedom is your choice. You can voice your opinion, do as you wish, demand what you want, say what you want. Manana came into Josh and he said, theek hai bhai, azadi tumara haq hai, barbadi tumara natija hai. If freedom is your lot, then destruction is your share. And the teachings of the deen of Nabi alayhi salam is al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. Al-barakatu ma'a akabirikum. That your prosperity, your joy, your success is in complying with your seniors. The more we will meet with our elders, the more we will respect our seniors. One day one young sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And he came complaining, said, O Nabi of Allah, my father is demanding money from me. One young person came to Nabi alayhi salam and he said, my father is demanding money from me. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, okay, go call your father. So this young boy went to call his father. While this young boy went to call him father, Jibreel Amin descended. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam that when this man's father comes, then after you have resolved the argument, ask him one question. Ask him that while he was walking and coming towards you, what were the couplets he was thinking in his mind? So Nabi alayhi salam said, okay. When this young boy came and his father also came, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi mentions this couplet under this verse, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ. Nabi alayhi salam asked the father that here is your young boy, your son. He claims that you are demanding. One day one young sahabi came to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and he came complaining, said, O Nabi of Allah, my father is demanding money from me. One young person came to Nabi alayhi salam and he said, my father is demanding money from me. So Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, okay, go call your father. So this young boy went to call his father. While this young boy went to call his father, Jibreel Amin descended. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam that when this man's father comes, then after you have resolved the argument, ask him one question. Ask him that while he was walking and coming towards you, what were the couplets he was thinking in his mind? So Nabi alayhi salam said, okay. When this young boy came and his father also came, Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi mentions this couplets under this verse, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهُ. Nabi alayhi salam asked the father that here is your young boy, your son. He claims that you are demanding access to his money. So the father cried and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I'm not demanding it, but I feel he is my son and I think I am justified in asking him some money, and I'm not asking him to abuse, but rather I am asking so that I can use it for myself, for the family. He knows where I want to use it, but I'm very hurt that my son feels that when I'm asking him, he refers to it as demanding. Nabi alayhi salam said, alright, tell me, leave this now, tell me, while you were walking, what were you thinking about? So he stood up and he read Karima la ilaha illallah. He said, O Nabi of Allah, this is but another miracle that Allah is showing us that you are the true Nabi of Allah. How did you know what was crossing in my mind? Then he complained about this young boy of his. What did he say? He said, غَذَوْتُكَ مَوْلُودًا وَمُنْتُكَ يَافِعًا تُعَلُّ بِمَا أَجْنِي عَلَيْكَ وَتُنْهَلُ إِذَا لَيْلَةٌ ضَافَتْكَ بِالسَّقْمِ لَمْ أَبِتْ لِسُقْمِكَ إِلَّا سَاهِرًا أَتَمَلْمَلُ كَأَنِّي أَنَا الْمَتْرُوقُ دُونَكَ بِالَّذِي تُرِقْتَ بِهِ فَعَيْنِي تَهْمَلُ تخاف الردى نفسي عليك وإنها لتعلم أن الموت وقت مؤجل فلما بلغت السن والغاية التي إليها مدى ما كنت فيك أؤمل جعلت جزائي غلظة وفظاظة كأنك أنت المنعم المتفضل فليتك إذا لم ترع حق أبوتي فعلت كما الجار المثاقب يفعل فأوليتني حق الجوار ولم تكن علي بمال دون مالك تبخل. Speaking about the teachings of this deen, that in this deen, any young boy, if he wants to go ahead in life, he must constantly consult with his seniors. My parents remain my parents. My elders remain my elders. My seniors remain my seniors. As much as I progress, I'm junior before my seniors. He says, O Nabi of Allah, as I was walking, I was singing these couplets in my mind and I'm telling myself, Ya Allah, this young boy today that has become so arrogant and he's challenging Allah also. He's defying Allah. He thinks he knows everything. He feels he's capable enough. He's defying Allah. He's defying me. He's vulgar. He's raw. He's abrupt. I'm thinking to myself. I'm speaking of the youngster today, of course. غَذَوْتُكَ مَوْلُودًا وَمُنْتُكَ يَافِعًا. That when I'm looking at this boy, I'm thinking in my heart, Ya Allah, I made my night and my day one. That I can safely say, today, O my son, you are where you are because of me. I'm thinking in my mind and I'm looking at this boy that today I asked him money, he is saying I'm demanding, and I'm thinking, Ya Allah, I brought this child up. I didn't know what was night, I didn't know what was day. I didn't know where my money was going after I had a child. My desires were sacrificed, my likes and my dislikes were given up for the sake of this child of mine. تُعَلُّ بِمَا أَجْنِي عَلَيْكَ وَتُنْهَلُ إِذَا لَيْلَةٌ ضَافَتْكَ بِالسَّقْمِ لَمْ أَبِتْ لِسُقْمِكَ إِلَّا سَاهِرًا أَتَمَلْمَلُ. That one day, if perchance this young boy that today is dragging me to the court of Nabi alayhi salam, if one day the son of mine became sick when he was a child, I thought to myself that I know when he was sick, I used to be so restless in the bed and I used to toss and I used to turn and I used to cry so much that an outsider would observe the scene and perhaps come to the conclusion that I am the sick one and not my son. إِذَا لَيْلَةٌ ضَافَتْكَ بِالسَّقْمِ لَمْ أَبِتْ لِسُقْمِكَ إِلَّا سَاهِرًا أَتَمَلْمَلُ كَأَنِّي أَنَا الْمَتْرُوقُ دُونَكَ بِالَّذِي تُرِقْتَ بِهِ عَيْنِي تَهْمَلُ. Then he goes on to say, تَخَافُ الرَّدَى نَفْسِي عَلَيْكَ وَإِنَّهَا لَتَعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْمَوْتَ وَقْتٌ مُؤَجَّلُ. I know very well that I cannot safeguard myself from the plan of Allah, from the destiny of this child. If Allah has decided that an accident is going to happen, all the precautions that I can tell my son to implement is not going to protect him and prevent the plan of Allah from prevailing. But at the same time, my love for my child did not allow me not to tell him to take the precautions. One side I knew that my planning and protecting could not avert and alter Allah's plan. But at the same time, my love for this child still did not allow me to leave him to do what he wanted. Like Yaqub alayhi salatu was salam, when he dispatched his children towards Misr, he told them, وَقَالَ يَا بَنِيَ لَا تَدْخُلُوا مِن بَابٍ وَاحِدٍ وَدْخُلُوا مِن أَبْوَابٍ مُتَفَرِّقًا وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُم مِّنَ اللَّهِ مِن شَيْءٍ. Said, oh my sons, you are entering into the court. Don't enter from one door. Go from different doors. You are the sons of one father. You are dressed beautiful. You will be speaking a foreign language. It's more than likely that people are going to cast the evil eye on you. People will make hasad on you. So why don't you disguise and camouflage yourself and enter from different places like we commonly do at airports. I don't know you. You don't know me. You at that counter. I'm at this counter. But at the same time, وَمَا أُغْنِي عَنْكُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ مِنْ شَيْءٍ. Oh my son, my planning to protect you cannot ultimately save you. So this sahabi is complaining and he's saying, I'm thinking, Ya Allah, I loved my son so much and I did so much for him, and I'm thinking that despite I cannot alter, yet my fear of saving him did not allow me from not guiding him. And then he goes on to say, Allahu Akbar, which perhaps might be the cry of many a parent today. Let us pledge to Allah that inshallah today we are going to make tawbah and we are going to ask our parents for forgiveness. Say inshallah, brothers. We're going to go back and how sad, certain youngsters, Allahu Akbar, are not speaking to their parents. One person came to Nabi alayhi salam and he said, Ya Rasulullah, hamaltu ummi ala unuqi farsakhin fi ramdain shadidatin law alqaytu fiha buz'atan min lahmin lanavajat fahal adjaytu shukra. O Nabi of Allah, I carried my mother on my back for 6 miles in such heat that if I had to drop a piece of flesh on the ground, it will roast in seconds. Have I perchance fulfilled the rights of my mother? Nabi alayhi salam looked at him and smiled and he said, oh my sahabi, it is not equivalent to a fraction of the agony your mother experienced in childbirth. The first thing that this deen is teaching us, that when a person will change his life, when a young boy will bring his life on Allah's obedience, muhabbat, bliss, understanding, the father looks at the son, reward. The son looks at the father, what love, what mercy. Imagine Allah has given every youngster an opportunity here, that from the time he gets up to look at his parents with love, kindness and mercy, take their du'as and leave. Nabi alayhi salam says, كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِكُلِّ نَظْرَةٍ حَجَّةً مَبْرُورًا. On every sight and every glance, with love and care at your parents, Allah will give you the reward of an accepted Hajj and Umrah. Sahaba Ikram, who were desirous of Tawab, said, O Nabi of Allah, if I desire to look at my father 100 times a day, how will Allah react? Dunya, if you say, hey, put a sticker there by only one per customer. Now next year when we have the sale, you can come again. But you can't have this cheap, you know, have the advantage of this article at so little money. So you're looking at your parents earning the reward of Hajj. O Nabi of Allah, if I only sit in my house and I only look at my parents with love, with kindness, with appreciation, will Allah give me reward multiplied to my glances, or Allah will only give me one? Nabi alayhi salam said, Allahu Akbar wa atyab. You look 100 times, Allah will give you 100. You look 1,000 times, Allah will give you 1,000. How sad today that youngster who can start by taking the Hajj and Tawab, unfortunately he has cast those glances into such nasty looks that from the morning already he has earned the wrath of Allah by not starting. How sad so many of our youngsters have been deprived, wallah, deprived of prostration before Allah in the early part of the morning. The joy and the pleasure and the bliss in prostrating before Allah in the early part of the morning, it comes in a riwayat. I read this riwayat myself, that when the hoors of Jannat and the women of this Jannat will argue in Jannat, so what will happen? The woman of Jannat will say, Ala wa nahnu al-khalidatu fala namutu abada, wa nahnu al-radiyatu fala naskhatu abada, wa nahnu al-na'imatu fala naba'asu abada, wa nahnu al-muqimatu fala narhalu abada, tuba liman kana lana wa kunna lahu. We are here in Jannat eternally. We will never be taken away. We are young, we will never become old. And we will remain with our partners, we will never be separated. Today's wife, today's woman, like one brother said very nicely, what does she say? My way or the highway? We will live, no, my way or the highway, with our partners. Tuba liman kana lana wa kunna lahu. How fortunate is that one who comes into our arms and we go into his arms. So then the woman of Jannat will have to speak. They cannot say we are here eternally, they have only been entered. They cannot say we only remain young, old age also came over them. So they will say, Ala wa nahnu sa'imatu wa ma sumtunna, wa nahnu al-musalliyatu wa ma sallaytunna, wa nahnu al-mutawadzi'atu wa ma tawadza'tunna. Yes, O the woman of Jannat, we who are the woman of this world, we can also tell you something. We fasted in the month of Ramadan, and we endured hunger and thirst when we could enjoy food because there was no one in the house. But it was a sweetness while we were fasting between us and Allah. You don't know what is fasting and what is iftar. Allah wa nahnu al-musalliyatu wa ma sallaytunna. We got up in the early morning and performed wudu and observed salah. You don't know what is wudu, you don't know what is salah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, by virtue of this, by virtue of the fasting, and by virtue of the wudu of this woman, in argument, they will overpower the hurs of Jannat also. They will overpower the hurs of Jannat also. So what is the virtue and the reward of that wudu in the early part of the morning will only be understood on the day of Qiyamah. This istima that is coming before us, an ideal opportunity. We find that Hazrat Safwan bin Umayyah radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam, Hazrat Umayr radiallahu anhu, when he accepted Islam and he came to Medina, we know the story. He actually came with the intention to assassinate Nabi alayhi salam. Safwan bin Umayyah and Umayr bin Wahab were sitting in the Haram Sharif. And then Safwan said, Wallahi, ما في العيش بعدهم خير. Since Abu Jahl has died, there's no more pleasure in life. So Umar said, Sadaqta, really you have spoken the truth, you have taken out the words from my tongue. Wallahi lawla daynun alayya wa iyalun indi akhsha alayhim al-dai'a la rakibtu ila Muhammadin hatta aqtulahu. If it wasn't for the fear of my death and my wife and my children, I would have gone and assassinated Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now and now. So Safwan said, if those are the two obstacles, then I will see to your wife and I will see to your death. Go and behead this man and that's the end of Islam. He got ready, his sword was sharpened, and he did straight towards Medina Munawwara. Sayyidina Umar was sitting at the door of Masjid al-Nabawi and they were discussing how Allah honored them in Badr. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu looked at this kafir coming, Umar bin Wahab, and he said, Wallahi ma ja'a illa li sharrin ya Rasulallah. O Nabi of Allah, the eyes of this man tells me he has come with some evil motive. He caught him by his shirt and he dragged him in the presence of Nabi alayhi salam. Nabi alayhi salam told him, Da'hu ya Umar, Umar leave him. Udnu minni ya Umar, come close Umar. Ma ja'a bika ya Umar, Umar what makes you come? Says, O Nabi of Allah, my son has been taken captive by the Muslims and I'm ready to pay any ransom provided you set him free. Nabi alayhi salam said, no Umar, tell me the truth, why have you come? He says, I have no other motive. Nabi alayhi salam looked at him and said, O Umar, is it not that yourself and Safwan were sitting in the haram and you were discussing, and then Safwan said that there's no more pleasure left in life after the demise of Abu Jahl, and then you agreed and you told him if it wasn't for your wife you would have beheaded me. So he took the undertaking that he'll see to your wife and your death, and you have come with the intention of assassinating me. He stood up there and he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. This was a discussion which was exclusive between myself and my companion. There is some being that has informed you, I bring iman on that Allah. Then the hadith is very long. Nabi alayhi salam said, Faqihu akhakum, by teaching about deen, environment of deen. The whole object of this istima, to create an atmosphere of deen. In the month of Ramadan, when the atmosphere is there, then it is so easy to obey Allah. If inshallah the atmosphere of deen will be there, that at the time of salah, the mother encouraging the son encouraging the brother, the whole house preparing towards salah. So what happened? 3 days he stays in Masjid al-Nabawi. He learns about deen. Sayyidina Umar says, Wallahi, لَخِنْزِيرٌ كَانَ أَحَبَّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ عُمَيْرٍ حِينَ طَلَى عَلَيْنَا وَهُوَ الْيَوْمَ أَحَبُّ إِلَيَّ مِنْ بَعْضِ وُلْدِي. When he came in as a kafir, a swine was more beloved to me than that man. But now he has been endowed with iman. And I look at the beauty of iman. Wallahi, Umar, I love you more than my own blood son. Sayyidina Umar, the point that I want to mention, relevant to our youngsters. He said, O Nabi of Allah, give me permission, I want to go back to Makkah. I've accepted Islam, now I want to go back to Makkah. Allah give us the tawfiq that at this juncture we make tawbah to Allah. And we ask Allah to forgive us for the life that we have led in Allah's disobedience. And what did he pledge to Allah? He pledged to Allah there and he said, O Nabi of Allah, I want to go back to Makkah. And I want to invite the people towards Allah's deen. وَإِلَّا عَذَيْتُهُمْ فِي دِينِهِمْ كَمَا كُنْتُ أُوذِي أَصْحَابَكَ فِي دِينِهِمْ. Now I want to make an effort to invite everyone towards Allah's deen. And if they will not accept Allah's deen, just as prior to Islam, my efforts were channeled against Allah. Now I want to channel all my efforts in obeying Allah. Wallahi la ad'u makanan jalastu fihi bil kufri illa ajlis fihi bil iman. I do not want to leave any land, any ground on which I sat as a kafir, but that I want to go back on that very same land and I want to sit there as a Muslim, so that on the day of Qiyamah, if that particular land was to testify that, oh Allah, a kafir sat on me, now I want this land must testify, oh Allah, a follower of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sat on me. My youngsters, the tashkir that I make to you now, if we have been to those evil places, to those nightclubs, to any and every evil, we went there for evil, we went there for guna, let it not be that on the day of Qiyamah, so many pieces of land will testify against us. Let us make tawbah to Allah and revive the spirit of Umar bin Wahab that opted to sit on every piece of land in the state of Iman, so that that land can give evidence in his favor. Let us go back to that very same universities with the spirit of Dawud. Let us go back to those schools with the spirit of Hidayat. Let us go back to those colleges with the spirit of Iman, that if this college and university was to testify that this man made zina on me, now that very same university and land will testify on the day of Qiyamah that this young boy surrounded with evil was making kish in the heart of this university. This should be the spirit. And this was the spirit of Sahaba. O Nabi of Allah, I want to live my life and I want to go to every piece of land. So this istima that Allah has given us, an ideal opportunity where we can make effort in this regard. One Sahabi, in Tirmidhi Sharif, this riwayat is mentioned. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his janazah was brought before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And someone passed a comment and said, O Nabi of Allah, do not perform the janazah namaz of this man. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked his sahaba, هَلْ رَآهُ أَحَدٌ مِّنْكُمْ عَلَىٰ عَمَلٍ مِّنْ أَعْمَالِ الْخَيْرِ. O my sahaba, has any one of you seen this young boy, this person, ever doing any action of good? The janazah was brought. Nabi alayhi sallam was about to perform the janazah. This riwayat comes in Tirmidhi Sharif. Someone tapped Nabi alayhi sallam and said, don't perform the janazah of this man. Nabi alayhi sallam said, has anyone in this congregation that has gathered here seen this deceased, this marhum, doing any good action? So one person stood up and he said, حَرَسَ لَيْلَةً فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. O Nabi of Allah, I remember once we were out in one battle, and if I recall correctly, this person is that very same man who stood on guard to protect the belongings of those that were striving in the path of Allah. Nabi alayhi salam then looked at that marhum and that deceased and addressed the janazah and he said, رُفَقَاؤُكَ يَظُنُّونَ أَنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ النَّارِ وَأَنَا أَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. O my sahabi, some of your companions are of the opinion that you're a jahannami. I testify that you're a jannati. On one action. So this istima that Allah has given us, before the istima, when schools will be closing, an ideal time, as I told you of this sahabi Umar ibn Wahab radiallahu anhu, who after Allah gave him hidayat, he wished to do such actions of piety that it can serve as an atonement for all the wrong that he did in previous times. Till today, all the holidays that we have spent in Allah's disobedience, let us make tawbah to Allah in this gathering and ask Allah that at this holiday, inshallah, in every holiday, my eyes used to see wrong, my hands used to touch wrong, my heart used to desire wrong. Oh Allah, now these faculties that you have given me, now these abilities that you have given me, in this istima I'm going to make fikr. At times, if it is laying out the carpet, at times protecting or safeguarding the belongings of those that will be making effort, whatever duty is allocated to us, from the time that school closes, we are not saying while we are studying, from the time that school closes, and avail ourselves daily for the task that will be handed out, and of course to attend the istima, and from the istima to take out jamaat and go out in the path of Allah. We all will try this, inshallah. And let us make tawbah to Allah that from today, inshallah, we are going to change our life. We are going to change the focus of our life. Inshallah, by virtue of that, Allah will give us prosperity in our studies also, and Allah will bring joy to us in dunya, qabr, and akhirat. May Allah forgive us tawfiq, inshallah.